Hello?
Love Talk Radio.
Yes, we got you, Sister Witch.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. No, 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 no. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Stay at home. Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Can't do it alone. Can't do it alone. Need some help, yeah. Need some help, yeah. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No
That's right. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in the bed. We got work to do. We got work to do, and we come to share with you some things we can do as a collective by participating and joining our missing pages of history. We'd like to thank everybody for giving us this opportunity to come to your homes this evening, where we can share information and to help fill in our missing pages of history. One of the things we'd like to say to our listening audience that please bear with us during this program. For the past several weeks, we've been having technical difficulties that is out of our control. We are receiving some kind of message at this present time that there is some problems with the live broadcasting system on the Blog Talk Radio, and their engineers are working on this issue. So we're going to do the best we can to give you a quality program, but it may be limited to the capacity of how well we can function technically. So those issues, again, are out of our control. We're going to see what we can do today, and we want to end this particular program by just talking about the things we can review as relates to the past events and lessons from this year, 2023. That's our major focus and theme for today, is reviewing past events and lessons from 2023. So we'd like to just hear from you. What are some of the highlights for this past years or events, or lessons that you have learned, and how can we move forward by learning from these past events and lessons that we have learned from 2023. Like always, this is MPH Radio. What we're going to do is we're going to start off by giving you something you think about, followed by MPH Black Minutes, followed by a message to the community from Alex. We will open up our discussion for our theme, which you can participate by calling in at 818-337-0016. Hit 1, and we will acknowledge you. And we will close out in terms of sharing with you how you can support the works of MPH Radio. So I'm the voice of MPH. This is our schedule for today. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to just want you to just give you something to think about as it relates to this concept of freedom. You know, freedom is something that is often discussed, talked about, fought over, died over, and we continue to do the same thing. There are wars going on today all over this concept of freedom. Man and woman want to be free. We would like to know that when you think about freedom, what is your concept of freedom? We will give you a concept of freedom at this point in time, give you something to think about. In terms of saying freedom is having the ability and the means to control those necessities for life. Let me repeat that. Freedom is having the abilities and means to control those necessities for life. That's one concept of freedom. Think about it. See how it fits into your world. So at this point in time, to get your pen and paper out, we're going to make a transition to MPH Black Minifax, to Susie, and to see what she has for us today. Susie, welcome to MPH Radio. What do you have for our listening audience for today's program? Susie.
For today's program, we'll be doing it from the PRSP calendar of 2021, and I'm just going to give you a review in history from Ida B. Wells, 1862 to 1931. I felt that I had better die fighting against injustice than to die like a dog or a rat in a trap. I had already determined to sell my life as dearly as possible if attacked. I felt if I could take one lynching with me, this would even up the score a little bit. She was born in Holly Springs, Mississippi, just months before the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. She became the most defiant, outspoken person on anti-lynching. In 1895, she published a Red Record, which recorded race lynchings in the U.S. In 1909, she was asked to be a member of the Committee of 40, the committee that did the groundwork for the founding of the NAACP. She continued to work on behalf of Africans until her death. And also do Frederick Douglass from 1818 to 1895. His quote, "If there's no struggle, there's no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom and yet depreciate agitation are men who want crops without plowing up the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of its many waters. This struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one, or it may be both moral and physical, but it must be a struggle. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will." And that's by Frederick Douglass, who was born in Talbot County, Maryland, in his journey from captive slave to internationally renowned activist. Douglass was a source of inspiration and hope for millions of Americans enslaved in the African diaspora. He was a warrior for women's rights, sometimes being the only male present at a pro-women's convention. His brilliant words and brave actions continue to share the ways that we think about liberation. I've just given you two black men facts today, on today, Saturday, December 3rd of 2023.
We'd like to thank you, Susan, for your black men facts. And like always, on MPH Radio, we want to hear voices from around the world. We want to hear your thoughts, what's going on in your world. And we have a special guest that's with us now that has joined us from France. We have a section called A Voice from France. Right now we have an artist, we have a writer who will display and share some of her thoughts with us today. We're going to bring in this voice from France, Brother Sister Wentz. We're going to bring it in right now, and she's going to talk to you about what's going on in the world. Wentz, welcome to MPH Radio. As a voice from France, what would you like to share with our listening audience today? The mic is yours. You can speak now. Wentz.
Hello.
Yes, Wentz, you can speak
Hello?
Now. Yes, Wentz, you can speak.
I love the my year 2023.
So what you want to say about 2023? You got the mic. Say what you want to say.
I want to tell my the year 2023. I met Hillary Clinton this year. I was on a TV show to New York. And I did a concert in my city, in France, and I interviewed a star of literature in December, and I did a book for my health.
Do you want to talk about your book? Talk a little something,
yes,
a little something about your book.
I can. Unveiled my paint from 2014 because I was in bad state, in bad health in 2014. And my book is there for unveiling why I spend more money than before.
Okay. Would you like to talk about any events that took place in 2023? What were some of the most important events that took place in France this year?
My best moment in 2023 was my meeting with Hillary Clinton.
Okay, and what you have planned for New Year 2024? Any particular plans you hope to achieve for New Year's 2024? What are your plans for 2024?
My goal for 2024 is my video game.
Okay, and the last question for folks who are listening, and could you give us some sense of what is the political conditions? What is the climate like right now in France? What's going on with the people? Where are they at in terms of what's going on? Just give us a general assessment. What's the conditions like right now in France? The living conditions.
Can you repeat, please?
What is the general living conditions, political conditions that is going on in France? What are some of the major stories that the people are talking about in France?
France, it's complicated. Complicated. In France, it's called life.
I hear you. Okay, Wes, anything that you have not said you would like to say, you got a couple more minutes. If you want to express, if you want to say anything else you may have not said, you think that would be important to our people as it relates to you or what's going on in France.
In France, it's hard to follow the politics because it's a crisis.
All right, Wes, we'd like to thank you for sharing with us a voice from out of France, and we'll stay in touch and we'll continue to share information. Thank you for joining MPH Radio. We thank you.
Thank you.
You have just heard the voice from France, Sister Wes. She gave some of her thoughts, some of the things she has done and want to do. And like always, we're looking for voices from around the world to help fill in our missing pages and share with us what is going on. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a station break with music with a message. And when we come back, we're going to have a message from the community from Brother Alex. You are listening to MPH Radio. We'll be right back.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know. Out of my skull, my grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force.
over me. We talk to each other in a friendship way. Then out of nowhere, they tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. Fast I burst into Richmond, where the ghosts are shouted on me. Walk the road my forefathers walked, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to when you came, my family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be, he guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be, many journeys to freedom made in vain. My brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. You said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and you was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. For some strange reason, it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee.
teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
That's right. We'd like to welcome you back to MPH Radio. Find your strength from within you and from among your people. But we'll represent the greatest love of all. Welcome back to MPH Radio. It's December 30th, 2023. And we will be discussing and reviewing past events and lessons from the year 2023. We'd like for you to join in just to give you your thoughts, events, and lessons that you learned from 2023. This is going to be an abbreviated program due to we still having technical issues with our podcast, and you know, we are doing the best we can, and we would like to alert everyone that hopefully we will start out with a better qualitative production, technically speaking, for New Year 2024, as we come back on the 13th of January. The 13th of January will be our first new program for the year 2024. We also would like to have wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a Bai Gani, a Happy Kwanzaa, which is the 5th day going on, and then celebrating the principle of Neil. Mean purpose. What is our purpose for why we are here? What is our purpose for doing the things that we do? Purpose means a lot in terms of trying to figure out how to move forward. So happy Kwanzaa to everybody. That's why I happy Hanukkah. If you celebrate Hanukkah, we hope to get a great Hanukkah celebration. So on that note right now, what we're going to do, we'll go to our brother Alex. He's going to give us a message to the community. Then we'll follow by a discussion on the theme, reviewing past events and lessons from the year 2023. Right now, brother Alex, we will come and bring you in, and what is your message to the community for today's program? The mic is yours, brother Alex.
Well, thank you, Brother Leaf, again, for giving me an opportunity to reach out to all the listeners and the callers today and to thank the guest speakers, especially your staff, Susie, and everyone who has made this program a success over the year. Because it takes a good amount of effort, and I don't know if everyone can sort of put together what it takes for you to accomplish this goal. So with forces fighting against you, I extremely appreciate the effort that you give bringing this show every 2 weeks. And on that note, I want to pray also that you all have had a blessed year, the holiday spirit of giving and enjoying family and friends has strengthened your love for life. Today, our lives and livelihood is threatened by many things of evil and criminal intention. We see the downfall of justice and democracy before our very eyes. We are daily subjected to misinformation and prejudice. Do we not question why times are so bad? Why do our children rise up against us? Why are there so many wars and rumors of war that may come? Why is there so much poverty and homelessness in a country proclaiming to be the best place to live in the world? Why do the prisons continue to jail innocent people? Is man a total failure of his own governing? Where do we turn? How do we seek deliverance from so many problems? Is there someone that we can seek these answers from? On New Year's Eve, we'll go to Watch Night services in America. They will follow a tradition as far back as when the slaves celebrated their anticipated freedom from Pharaoh on the eve of the first day of the first month, as in the book of Exodus. The slaves prayed, wailed into the late night, awaiting God's signs. Centuries later, Christians' followers were said to have ceremonies or watch nights inspired by Jesus of praying all night before important decisions. Christians began to distinguish themselves from others by sermons, praying, and fasting to God. They gave thanks, testimonies, and celebrated with family and friends through the teaching of Jesus. Many others will celebrate the arrival of the new year with wicked dancing, excessive drinking, and doing all kinds of evil acts, considering it a night of good times to pleasure themselves without consequences. Watch Night came to America around 1740 through the services and teachings of English abolitionist evangelist John Wesley, whom inspired a young African-American, Richard Allen, to convert to Christianity in 1777. Allen later founded in 1816 the African Methodist Episcopal Church, the AME as we know today. In the Methodist tradition, and conducted watch night services before the new year. And John Wesley's writing, Thoughts Upon Slavery, in 1744, he wrote, "Liberty is the right of every human creature as soon as he breathes the vital air, and no human law can deprive him of that right which he derives from the law of nature." The Watch Night of Freedom Eve, as in August of 1862, President Lincoln wanted the Emancipation Proclamation Declaration announcement to be given on the eve of morning, January 1st, 1862. So he began to write letters to the members of Congress. As Lincoln's letters reached different state senators and House representatives, many were enjoying the holidays at home with their families. The letter stated that the members of Congress had a responsibility to the soon-to-be freed slaves as they did to all other citizens. Lincoln's view of a new nation where the freedmen would be legally and morally accepted into the European American society as human brothers and citizens was cut short by his assassination. The conspiracy to keep the freedmen in legal bondage to whites forever was set forth at the South, even though they lost the war. Teenager, I visited an elder woman who lived near one of my great aunts. She had come to church on New Year's Eve with a small book and papers, which she sat down beside her. For years, I have wondered why it was so important for her to have that old book and papers. One day after church service, she asked me to come over to read to her. During the 60s, there were many older African Americans who could not read and write, and they were dependent on younger school children to read to them letters, newspapers, and books. As I entered the front doorway, I noticed a side table where sat a picture of a young man in an army uniform. She told me it was her great-grandfather who served in the Union Army of Kentucky, where more than 24,000 blacks had joined the Union effort to defeat the Southern resistance in the Civil War. Besides his picture, lay an old book with a letter and papers sticking out. She mentioned that the letter and papers had been mailed by him to his mother as a Christmas gift, that the war would soon be over and he would be coming home. I loved to read, and as I asked her if I could see the books and papers, she told me that they had been passed down on every Christmas Eve to the last descendant and traveling about. The book and papers had stayed in the family. As I opened the book, the first page said his name was Silas Hawkins of the Kentucky Volunteers, United States Colored Troops. The handwriting was so scribbled and the words so misspelled that I thought it should be thrown away. I saw an inspiring and grateful look in her eyes as I tried to read the letter out loud. She said, "I read it as if her great-grandfather was reading it himself." Finally, I got to the part near the end of his writing, upon where he said there was a promise of freedom by the Union. He mentioned for her to have someone read the papers on watch night, December the 31st, because he might not make it home for the new year. He said Lincoln's promise of freedom had been made to his unit of troops about emancipation after the battle at Antietam, and that they were marching south to whip old General Lee in Virginia. She told me that her great-grandmothers, as her son had requested, took the papers announcing their freedom to the watch night meeting of their community of slaves who had escaped to Kentucky from plantations all over the South. They had gathered down by the river that freezing cold night, about a mile from the white citizens' church that would not let them attend their watch night service. As a free slave came forward to read the papers, they all prayed because it was news from one of their kind. The papers had come from the war front, where many of their husbands and sons were fighting for their freedom and rights to be treated equally. Before the man could finish reading the Emancipation Proclamation, out of the shadow appeared three men. One was missing an arm, another missing a leg, and the last one was her son holding the book that she had gave him before he left. It was a miracle her son had returned and was not severely injured in one of the deadliest battles of the Civil War. Together, they all cried, prayed, and rejoiced all night long. The woods were filled with their shouts of joy, of free men, women, and children. No more of the master's slavery and bondage. As I turned the book over, I noticed a bullet hole on the back cover. It was this metal back covering, the bullet that struck her son's chest at Antietam that was in his breast pocket. The small plate of metal stuck on the back cover was what he was saving to make her a Christmas present engraving, taken from a photo slide. Her family had passed this simple gift and story down the ages to her, and now it was on her table. From that day on, I went by our home and enjoyed reading and talking about many things that the people of color had endured during slavery. She said to me to eat and rest well, for every night in the country away from our true ancestors should be a watch night for freedom. How ironic it is that we still wait for justice, equal rights, and respect as our forefathers did hundreds of years ago when it was known as Heartbreak Night for many slaves. Our ancestors left us with a legacy to be proud of us, that they fought and resisted racism and injustice everywhere. We must never give up our culture and history to be relegated into the dust like so many others. We must strive to continue for a common goal of true freedom, not written on paper, but within our minds and souls, to free us of the negative attitudes and laws we still encounter as the people of color. We must rise and lift our voices in harmony to total freedom in this land called America. A watch night prayer. Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work, those who fight in this war, those who escaped into the woods, those who weep, and those who are still in bondage, and give charge to the angels over those who sleep. Tend to the wounded and the sick. Lord Christ, give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe their suffering. Pity the injured and the afflicted. Shield us this joyous hour as we celebrate this night of freedom, for tomorrow starts a new day of hate for us in a land we may never see liberty or justice. We ask for your guidance and love to make us a whole people once again as we seek our homeland here in this land called America. Amen. And thank you, family, for listening.
Brother Alex, for your perspective and insight on telling a story, sharing information to our community. We thank you. What we're going to do now, we're going to take a station break with music with a message. And it will be followed up by a backdrop of our upcoming discussion today, which is reviewing past events and lessons from the year 2023. We would like to hear from you, the listening audience, on what have you learned from the past events, 2023, with lessons, and how we can move forward. This is a program where you can share your perspectives. We will do that when we come back from this break. You are listening to the voice of MPH Radio.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Talk about Africa, once seen by Europe as the antithesis of civilization, the heart of darkness, in the words of a certain Joseph Conrad. Centuries later, Africa remains ignored. It makes news for its conflicts, poverty, and exoticism. For the longest time, the world saw it as a lost cause. Then one country saw opportunity and thus began a new race for Africa, not very different from the scramble of the 19th century when colonial Britain and France wanted raw materials, slaves, and geopolitical influence. Now in the 21st century, global powers are in more or less the same race. China, the United States, India, the European Union, Japan, Israel, Canada, all of these countries are in the race for Africa. And one country is emerging as the clear winner. Hello and welcome to Gravitas Plus. I'm Palki Sharma Upadhyay and this is Africa, a continent of 54 sovereign states, 17% of the world's population, 9.6% of the global oil output, 90% of the world's platinum supply, 90% of the world's cobalt supply, half of the world's gold supply, two-thirds of the world's manganese, 35% of the world's uranium, 75% of the world's coltan, and 54 votes in the United Nations General Assembly. This is what makes Africa so attractive and makes the continent a battleground for global powers. There are numerous fronts: investment and infrastructure, military power, diplomacy, soft power, trade, geopolitics. Every country has its own interest in Africa. In 2016, Israel began its scramble for the continent. Benjamin Netanyahu became the first Israeli Prime Minister to visit Africa in 50 years. What did he want? Votes. In favor of Israel and against Palestine in the United Nations resolution. Africa and Israel share similar histories, he said. Israel went on to sponsor solar, water and agricultural technologies. In the same year, 2016, Senegal co-sponsored a UN resolution. It condemned the construction of illegal Jewish settlements in the West Bank. What did Israel do? It cancelled the Mashav drip irrigation project. And this is just one example. Here's another one. The European Union has pledged more than $54 billion in sustainable investment for Africa. What does the EU want? Access to the African market of 1.3 billion people. Brussels has negotiated free trade agreements with at least 40 African countries. But does this ensure a balanced two-way trade? It doesn't. And no country has a bigger interest in Africa than China. China is funding 1 in 5 infrastructure projects in Africa. It is building every third one. Africa has an infrastructure deficit and China has a signed checkbook. Starting 2005, China has invested at least $2 trillion in Africa. It built 6,200 kilometers of railways, including the continent's longest railway line connecting Ethiopia and Djibouti. Beijing has also built the African Union headquarters in Addis Ababa. What does China get in return? A lot. Geopolitical influence to start with. Beijing is selling its culture, its currency. In Guinea-Bissau, exit signs are written in Mandarin. China has established at least 50 Confucius Institutes across 33 countries. Several African countries use Chinese currency. China also gets a strategic overseas base. In 2017, China built its first overseas base at the Horn of Africa, Djibouti to be specific. Djibouti connects the Mediterranean Sea to the Indian Ocean via the Suez Canal. The base has the capacity to accommodate 10,000 troops. China also gets a market to dump its goods. China is Africa's largest trading partner. Chinese trade has increased 40-fold in the last two decades. At least 10,000 Chinese firms operate in Africa. This is according to a McKinsey study. Africa has resources and China has access. Did you know that a third of China's investments in Africa are in the mining sector? And finally, it gets to debt trap Africa. But here's the thing. China is not the only country investing in this continent. It's not even the biggest. The United States is Africa's largest investor. It accounts for $54 billion of FDI stock. There are 600 American companies operating in South Africa alone. And this, even after the US president called Africa this. For the longest time, Africa was nothing but a war zone for Washington. It has over 7,000 troops deployed in the continent. They are spread across some 13 African countries, including Burkina Faso, Cameroon, Central African Republic, Chad, Democratic Republic of Congo, Kenya, Libya, Mali, Mauritania, Niger, South Sudan, Somalia, and Tunisia. For the US, Africa was a continent for counter-terrorism operations. What happened then? Why is the US suddenly interested in Africa? The answer is this. For the US, Africa is now a new front to take on China, and Washington is now fighting it out for power and influence. An article on the US State Department website reads, and I quote, "Africa is the continent of the future. Thus, we need to make the most of its potential. By 2050, its population will more than double to 2.2 billion people, with over 60% under the age of 25. Where is Africa's interest in all of this? Also, what about India? What role does India play in this continent? New Delhi's ties with Africa date back to the time of Mahatma Gandhi. India was part of the Bandung Project of 1955. New Delhi supported Africa's anti-colonial struggles. It supported the liberalization movements in Ghana, Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, Angola, Mozambique, Guinea-Bissau. India also raised the issue of racism in South Africa. It will be unfair to say, though, that India's newfound interest in Africa has nothing to do with China. In 2018, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi toured key African states just ahead of Chinese President Xi Jinping's visit. In 2018, India decided to open 18 new embassies in Africa. India has defense partnerships with Zambia, Nigeria, Ghana, Ethiopia, Botswana, Uganda, Mozambique, and Namibia. New Delhi is currently training African military. Indian company Airtel is a dominant telecom firm in Africa. New Delhi is offering 50,000 scholarships to African students. Despite everything, India is far behind China in the race for Africa. China's Belt and Road Initiative has sealed its hold on Africa. If in the 1900s Africa was colonized with force, in 2020 it is being trapped by loans. China accounts for 14% of sub-Saharan debt. In Kenya, the volume of Chinese loans is six times that of France, which is the country's second largest creditor. And Sri Lanka can tell you what happens when Chinese loans are not repaid. China is looking to capture Africa. It has a strong diaspora. It is spending big money. It is selling its movies, culture and currency. China extracts raw materials. It manufactures products with them and sells them back to this continent. Does this remind you of something? What did the British do in India? In the 19th century, the rivalry between Britain and France fueled Africa's colonization. In the 21st century, the trade war between the United States and China is hastening the same. Just like the 19th century, there are numerous countries in the scramble for Africa. And just like the 19th century, there is nothing in it for Africa.
Gravitas Plus, co-presented by Skoda. Simply clever.
You have just heard a backdrop for today's theme, reviewing past events and lessons for the year 2023. We would like to have some discussions for Relieve Out Here as it relates to my interest for 2023 or the issues of what is taking place in Africa and its relationship to our survival and our future. Before we have that discussion, we would just open our phone lines up to some of our listeners and supporters and friends of MPH Radio who would like to share with us their view on the past events and lessons from 2023. So what we're going to do is we're going to call out the last four numbers and you can share with us your views on past events and lessons that you have learned for 2023 and what you maybe have planned for 2024 to make it a better year. So we're going to start out. We'd like to thank everyone for their discipline of holding on and trying to get through this program again for the past several programs. For some reasons, our technical setup has been failing our production process in terms of technical support. They have indicated to us, Blog Talk Radio, that they are experiencing issues with live broadcast system, and their engineers are working on this problem. So we get cut off or we have problems, it's something that beyond our control. So let's do the best we can and let's continue to discuss the theme at this point, reviewing past events and lessons from the year 2023. We're going to our listeners. We can call out your last four numbers and you can share with us your perspective of this past year, 2023. Caller number 9348. We will welcome you to MPH Radio and you may discuss your past years, your past year events and lessons for 2023. Welcome to MPH Radio. Caller 9348. Yes, Sister Mary, how you doing?
Doing okay, thank you. We're on the road. But my brother Alex, who read so eloquently, and what a great topic to talk about, asked me about reading a poem. So I don't know if you want me to do it now or I can just do it later at the end of the show.
Repeat that again, Sister Mary.
Oh, I had wanted to do a poem, basically. But I didn't know if you wanted me to do it at the end of the show.
No, we got to get you in while... We about to get you in while we can because we're having all kind of technical problems. So since we got you on live, go ahead and do your poem now.
Okay, great. Thank you. It's going to be a new year, a new year with the Lord. A new year is about to unfold with new opportunities to explore. Doors will open for new experiences, and new adventures will be with our Lord. Remember not the former things, the things of this past year. The Lord will do new things in us, much more than we are aware. He will make a way for us as we put our trust in him, and he will guide our every step by his presence we have within. What God has placed within our hearts, we find we'll be able to do it. If we look for the opportunities, we'll see the door, and we will surely go through it. We mustn't let anything hold us back, but rise up and take our place and be all that God wants us to be with a fresh touch of his grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you. I'll turn the mic back over to you.
Happy New Year. We thank you and Happy New Year's to you as well. And in the best and best of health, and tell the family and everyone that we say hello on MPH Radio.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, my sister. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to caller 4298. 4298. Your response to our theme, reviewing past events and lessons for 2023. What would you like to say, caller, from looking at the year 2023? The mic is yours, 4298.
Thank you, Brother Lee. This is Brother Robert Moses. I'm very concerned about the situation in Palestine and the developments over the past year there. First of all, I'd like to say, you know, a ghetto is not a nation, and ghetto building is not, it's not the same as a nation, and that, you know, we have to recognize dialectical and historical materialism, and when we use words, we must use them concretely, and in the political economy, and as revolutionaries, we must be the most advanced in our theory and practice. And in that sense, I would like to say it's Pan-Africanism or perish. And so in the spirit of self-determination up to and including independence, I say Africa for Africans. And I would like to say a nation is not a race, but a historically evolved community of people on a definite land. Family is the foundation of a nation, for it's the interrelatedness of the community in a common economic bond during the epoch of capitalism from which it arises. Obviously, a nation has classes. My position is that Malcolm X was correct in defining the nation to which Negroes belong as Afro-America. Chairman Mao referred to the Afro-American people's struggle. As stated, a nation is not a race. Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton are part of that Afro-American nation of the Black Belt South. Obama represents the first Afro-American to become a president. He is a Black American of the Afro-American nation. And I like to say, you know, Israel is founded on narrow nationalism and idealism. And that idea came and it will go, because reality will seep in, because the people will no longer be fooled. Thank you.
Thank you, caller, for your contribution to today's program. We now will go to our next caller. Caller 7236. Welcome to MPH Radio. What would you like to share concerning past events and lessons from the year 2023? Call the 7236. Going one, going twice, going third time. We thank you for listening. Next, we're going to Susie, your thoughts on the past year, 2023 events and any lessons learned you'd like to share with our audience. Susie.
It,
what I'd like to share with the audience is the fact that regarding politics, sports, violence, and medical issues, will be a continuation of 2024, and that we should just make ourselves aware of the different news medias and things like this, because things have really made traumatic changes here in 2023, and I think those changes will be continuing in 2024. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Brother Alex, talk to me from your perspective, reviewing the past events and lessons from 2023. What would you like to share with our listening audience as it relates to this past year?
Well, Mr. Lee, I'd like to start off with a few things to cover, if you don't mind, because we've had
Take your time, brother.
Okay. As they say, we've had a year like we never had before. But they say that every year. And the reason why they say that every year is because it makes the news. You know, TikTok, things go viral, Instagram, whatever. Social media is in the forefront of everything. So on that note, when we were watching football and we noticed a young man go down from a vicious hit, Damar Hamlin, and he went into cardiac arrest right there before millions of people's eyes, and the nation was stunned. The news media was stunned. Social media was stunned. And prayers went out to this young man that his recovery would be complete. And I would like to say, yes, Mr. Hamlin is doing well today. Then we got to look back at something that happened that I wouldn't do regardless what the situation is. But we've got people out here that desire to go to places where no one else has ever went before. But to do that, we have to use common sense. And we have to make sure that whatever vehicle we're being transported in is safe. Not so with the Titan implosion. Again, we were captivated by what happened when people lost their lives going down to see the wreck of the Titanic. And again, I say, I would never do something like that. Then when we look at all the things that happened, and what could happen worse than the Lewiston, Maine shooting spree that ended with 18 dead? Well, we can call it mental illness. We can call it anything that we want. But the man was packing a gun and ammunition. Now, in Congress, we have bills to curb a lot of gun violence, but they'll never get approved. We have bills for mental health. They'll never get approved. So when we're talking about doing something for gun violence, this past administration has done more, but not enough, but has done more than any other in many years. Then we got to look at our own Congress, our own House, I like to say, our own House, Mr. Lee, what we call our U.S. Congress. And inside that Congress, we saw a gentleman take vote after vote after vote after vote to be confirmed. And no less than a few months after this man has been confirmed, he was kicked out. And he was kicked out because he was working with the other side. When we think about government and we think about Congress and in any negotiation of a deal, we need to have input from both sides. if we don't have someone that's willing to reach across the table, to break the bread, to make this country continue with health care, with the Department of Defense and the nomination of officers, promotions that need to go on. When we are stuck in the decisions of where this country should go as far as government is concerned, we are in trouble. And that's what happened. Now, sticking with government, we had a former president indicted over and over and over and over again. But yet and still, you have supporters that believe that he is fit for office. Again, I cannot qualify him to do anything by looking at his resume. But it's up to the voters this fall, because it may fail in the Supreme Court, whether he could be taken off the ballots or not. But go back and look at the films of the attack on the Capitol, the People's House, and make your own decision as they pushed and shoved and beat and struck officers, all in the name to starve off a just election, to upend democracy as we know it, to represent one house only, so that one person's mind of thought or dictatorship should rule. So is that what we consider the American way? I don't think so. Then we have to look at Hamas' attack on Israel. And we have to look at many years before this attack, everything, because when we turn a flame on the stove, the water doesn't automatically boil. It takes time for the water to heat up. It takes time for whatever's in that pot to stew. And if we're not careful and not watch that pot, it will get hot. And it may even cause a fire and burn over. So no one was watching what was going on, because they got attacked out of the blue, whether it's failed military intelligence or not. They were attacked out of the blue. Atrocities were committed. Now, revenge comes from the other side. And anyone that knows when Israel is attacked, that revenge is 10 times over. So when we look at the disparity of deaths between the Palestinians and the Israelites, it is horrifying to see that many people killed. Peace in the Middle East is what we need. The bombs need to stop dropping. Talks need to commence. Both sides have inflicted wounds. So now we need peace in the Middle East. Then there was an anomaly in space, and they found a giant hole about the size of 60, not 10, not 20, not 30, not 40, not 50, but 60 Earths in the sun's atmosphere. And it happens every so often. But scientists say that this is the first time that a giant hole that was about 60 Earths opened up. So is that a warning from somebody or something? Then we got to talk about the Chinese spy balloon that waffled across the U.S. Again, social media was a lie. The news was a lie. Everybody in about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 states could look up and see the Chinese spy balloons as they looked down on America. Eventually, it was shot down. But what was collected during that time? How safe are we today when someone can just fly a balloon over your head? Then we got to look at the student loan program, the rulings, the payments, because Biden offered this during his running for president about student loans. And if anybody went to college, did they understand if you needed some money, then you had to apply for a loan. Your parents applied for Parent Plus loans or any other financial loans and borrowing money from banks, putting the houses up and everything just to make sure that their kids had an opportunity better than them. This was a considerable, thoughtful idea by a candidate running. But a candidate also has to understand that will the House and Senate go for it? Will the rich and the wealthy in this country go for it? And believe me, they did not. So we got to look at where America is going. And then I want to strike back to the Ukraine war, because a lot of people have pushed it to the back burner. But Putin is still in control in Russia. There was an attempt almost to dethrone him, a little failed attempt. But the thing was, Putin prevailed. Now, is that good or is that bad? Well, it's definitely bad for Ukraine. But is it bad for the rest of the world? You know, we were successful at taking out Gaddafi years ago. We were successful at taking out Saddam Hussein. We were successful in a lot of little coups and uprisings in Africa that were backed by U.S. control. So how far is our involvement in foreign affairs? Because we found this out in Africa as the United States was beginning to push its weight in Africa. Well, we say the African countries need our help. They need our army. They need our missiles. They need our guns. But if we supplied them all of that, then they would only kill each other in mass numbers. Because, again, they will only be puppets controlled by the United States. So we have to be careful. And when we say it's a good idea to help somebody out, unless the intentions are honest. If we go in looking to build roads and schools and hospitals and education centers, if we look to build infrastructure, if we look to build jobs and opportunity, then that's different. And we keep that in the Africans' control to let them decide where Africa needs to go. Not us, not Europe, not anyone else, not China, Japan, but let the Africans decide their own future. We have had, again, a year like no other. It won't happen again, what happened this year. So we have to look forward to a better year of what last year was, because next year is a voting year, as we have seen. And we have to start on the local level. That means your sheriff's department, your mayors, your local government, your aldermen. You know, the people that decide your immediate future, in what you're going to do. And that spreads out to your, from your city government to your county government to your state government to your federal government. And we have to make wise decisions when we start checking the ballot. We have to be informed voters. We have social media. We have the internet. We have library books. We can find the resumes on anyone. We can know what they are planning on doing. Believe me, if someone says that he will wear a red shirt tomorrow, do not think that he's going to walk out with one blue. He will wear that red shirt and wear it proudly, because people will support you when you build them up to the ideas that they want to listen to. So we have to be careful in all that we do in 2024, because it's going to be an important year. But I pray that everyone's finances are blessed next year. For the ones that buy new cars, for the ones that buy new homes, for the ones that buy land, for the ones that open up business, for the ones that go to college, I want you to be successful and blessed and prosperous in this new year, because that is what it's going to take, a prosperous society, not a capitalist society, but a prosperous society. And that means being fair and honest with your employees, because they're the one that's getting your product or your service out the door. So we have to really think about our service people. And one last thing I want to close out is immigration at the borders. Well, for years, America has allowed immigrants in this country. Yeah. And it allowed millions of immigrants in this country. And there was no one out there saying that they were the scum of the earth, that they were poison, that they were going to bring down the United States. Instead, they were welcome to see them come because they were European immigrants. If we had treated South America and Mexico and all the other countries fairly for years, then we wouldn't have to worry about everyone that wants to come here for a better life. But when you enforce embargoes, when you enforce sanctions, when you tell people who to trade with, who they can't trade with, who they can sell the oil to and who they can't, then you destroy their economies. So for years, the United States has been a thorn in many South American countries' side. So we have to look at the problems where they started. We can't just look at because they're gathered at the border. They're gathered at the border from a problem that we have caused hundreds of years ago. So that's what we have to look at through colonialization along with Europe. And we started that problem years ago and taken opportunities away from those people of color. So I give the mic back to you. And again, Mr. Lee, I just thank you for such a wonderful job that you have done the whole year of enlightening us and giving us this forum to view all the things that you have gave us to enrich our lives, to make us more knowledgeable of what's going on in the world today. Because one day, a lot of this history that we have discussed will be forgotten, and a lot of people will try to further erase it. So I give it back to you, and I thank you ever so much.
Thank you, Brother Alex. I would just like to make a few points as relates to 2023. I guess my bigger issue is, first, we'd like to give our congratulations of a return back home to Venezuela. Brother Alex was released a little more than a week ago. He's back to his place where he was on a diplomatic relationship trip for the government of Venezuela, and he has now been released from the dungeons of the prisons from the U.S. back home. So we wish the best to his family as a happy New Year to them. And secondly, I would just like to just generally focus on the question, the issue that there seemed to be a repeat of the 1884 Berlin Conference, where all countries outside of Africa, particularly coming from the West, is getting together and I will argue to recolonize Africa. And what does that mean to us as a people here, as a colonized people here in the U.S.? We as Africans are happy to be born in the U.S. Every people have a base, they have an interest, and they should and must act according to their interest and their base. And I think that we have lost our African connection in understanding who we are, where we are, and where's our home. I think we need to pay close attention to what is going on in Africa, particularly the recent coups that took place from Mali, Burkina Faso, and Nigeria, and how they may impact the rest of Africa and the rest of the world. Also, there cannot be no separation between what's going on in Africa and what's going on in Palestine. This act of genociding a people must be stopped, and the world cannot continue to stand by and allow, up to this point, over 21,000 Palestinians have been killed, and we should not encourage any killing if it can be avoided. But when someone or a people is fighting for their resistance, we must understand the scientific law of oppression, which states wherever there is oppression, there will be resistance. Those are lessons that we've been looking at and take from 2023. We would like to ask everyone to thank you for supporting MPH Radio. Our next program for New Year will be January 13th. If you'd like to support our organization, please email us and become a member just by emailing mphradio@yahoo.com. We can use your label, your talents, but more importantly, we need you to help us write our missing pages so it becomes a blueprint where our people can follow towards our liberation freedom. Remember, no one can give you freedom. If they can give it to you, that means they can take it from you. Freedom is not a trophy. It's not something you fight and win and you keep it forever. Freedom is something you must take, you must fight, and once you get it, you must continue to fight to keep it. So those are the lessons for 2023. We'd like to thank everyone. Again, we wish everyone a happy New Year. Hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and a happy Kwanzaa. Again, this is the fifth principle, celebrate new purpose. Find your purpose, and when you find your purpose, make sure Africa is a part of it. Help free our mother. Help make a humanity better for all people. Help try to end these contradictions in your unjust wars. So until next time, we thank you for listening to MPH Radio, and we'll see everybody on the 13th, and we'll leave you with some music and inspiration. You have been listening to the voice of MPH Radio, and this has been Missing Pages of History. We see you in 2024 on January 13th.
Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 run.
but you sure can't hurt.
Brought together so that we could love each other, brother. We are
time is a problem. He wanna shine and wanna rob him. Single mother, where they come from? How we gonna save the nation? With no support for education. Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about our part. My heart touch your heart. Let's talk about living. Had enough of dying. That's what we all about. Let's do more giving. Do more forgiving. Yeah. Our souls were brought together so that we could love each other. Sister, we are here. We are here.
While we are here, while we are here.